and they stopped at the place at Hudaybiyah. Then we all know the story, the incident, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who were prevented from entering. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu to mediate as an ambassador of sorts. So Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu went, and when he went to speak with the Quraysh, then he went via his cousin, so his cousin took him, and his cousin noticed that he had his garment was above his ankles, was quite high. So his cousin told him that, why are you wearing your garment like this? Then Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu replied that this was the way, this is how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to have garments. This is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then his cousin said that the Quraysh wearing our garments below our ankles is a sign of dignity and respect. And he was afraid that if Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu has to go in this condition, then the Quraysh, it might hurt the negotiations because they might look down upon Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu because his garments are above his ankles. But Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu was firm and he stuck to his Islamic identity and he said, this is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited us from keeping our garments below our ankles. And he kept, this is what, look how such a critical and sensitive point in his, in it was, where the whole group of Muslims and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could get turned back. But he stuck to his, that this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, and he has prohibited us from lowering our garments below our ankles. Another incident of one Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that he was sitting on the dasturkhan and he was partaking in some meals, and a morsel of, while he was eating, then a morsel of food fell on the ground. Then without, then he took out, he picked up that morsel, dusted it, cleaned it, whatever, and he consumed, he ate that morsel. So some of the non-believing, the leaders of the kuffar were present. Then they looked at him with disgust, that how, and someone asked him that, how can you eat from the floor? Then he explained that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that whenever, if something falls on the ground, we should clean it and eat it. We should not be wasting food. This was the how much they preserved the Islamic identity. They did not, as they say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. That he did not abandon what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them just for the pleasure, just for the comfort of other people. Another example is sometimes a person is traveling somewhere and he is going and he needs to perform salah. Now a person should not feel embarrassed that I am performing my salah in front of the public. What will they think of me? You don't want to make them uncomfortable. A person should not, he should obviously, he shouldn't be reading namaz in the middle of the road or somewhere where there's public. Go in one corner where he's not a disturbance to people, where he can do his salah easily without causing inconvenience. It should not be that we are causing inconvenience and we are sitting every, we are blocking the path or we are obstructing someone. Go in one corner. A person should not feel shy of his Islamic identity. He should read his salah and carry on with his, with whatever he is doing. And also, Islamic identity is not only our dressing, our beard, our topi, whatever we're wearing. It's also our beliefs and our ideologies. And when a person does not have his Islamic identity, then there's a vacuum in him. And then this is when kuffar ideologies, when other things will start to come in. Example, all this Darwin's theory of evolution, all this feminism, all this kind of modern thinking will come into his mind, and he will begin to adopt these kind of identities because there is a vacuum in him now. He's looking for something to hold on to, something to follow. So this is very, very important that we should always look to preserve and keep our Islamic identity. Ulama has mentioned few things we can do to keep, to help preserve this in our lives. Ulama mentioned that one of the things we can do is in the house, in the home, with the family, make some ta'aleem daily. Either it be Fazal A'mal, Fazal Sadaqat, many other kitab recommended by ulama. Some kitab where daily ta'aleem is taking place in the home. Some deeni environment is taking in the home. Quran Sharif is being read in the home. Zikr is taking place in the home. Advise the family. of what, if someone learns something, encourage him, if the child learns something in madrasa, or he learns something in school, something, so advise him to share it to the family, and we also can share it with our families what we learn, something beneficial every day. Our Islamic knowledge is increasing. Our Islamic knowledge and our spirituality will be increasing. Another thing our ulama mentioned is that we should try and link ourselves to the ulama and to the masajid. That as far as possible, attend the programs in the local masjid. Attend as far as possible, perform our salah in the masjid, perform our salah with jamaat, and develop a relationship and develop a link with the masjid. If the people of the house see us being regular with our salah and our ibadat, automatically it will have an effect on our children and those people who are under us. And the third thing is that we should make an effort to remind one another, either amongst our friends, either amongst our colleagues, or at home, continuously remind one another to do our salah, to perform to do all these kinds of ibadat. So these three things ulama mentioned will help us preserve the Islamic identity in our homes, into our lives. This is truly a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you go to many countries, the people who go in jamaat, they give the kalguzaris and they explain that sometimes you go to a far town in other parts of the world, and they see people with Muslim names. They see these people with kurta and topi, and they will come and they say that, this garment you're wearing, what is it? My grandfather used to wear this. My great-grandfather used to wear this. And they take them home, and they show them, this is what my grandfather wore. This Quran Sharif you're reading, what is it? My grandfather used to read this Quran, and they have it kept away in the shelf. They have lost the Islamic identity. So this is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should make shukr for it, and we should try and preserve it and look after it. Like how anything in life needs maintenance. A person has a car, that car needs to be maintained. Every year he needs to take it for a service. Every certain amount, 10,000 kilometers for example, he needs to take it for a service. A person has anything at home, some appliance, sometimes the thing needs to be repaired. So it's in the same way, our iman also continuously needs to be refreshed, continuously needs to be recharged. We're always worried about for our cell phones and our other gadgets. We always need a power bank. We need something to keep our phones charged. We need something to keep our appliances charged in case something, there's load shedding. We must be able to use our appliances. So in the same way, what about our iman? Even more important is to keep our iman charged all times. So these days that in the beginning we mentioned, of Ashura, Muharram, etc., all these days are opportunities for us to plug in that fast charger and to charge our iman. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us these days. We mentioned in the beginning why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these days. The Ramadan, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, Laylatul Bara, and all these days Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us opportunities and chances to get closer to Him. And we have to keep, as we mentioned, that it is a combo deals. Buy one, get one free. If we hear that there's a sale happening in some place, buy one, get one free, and we need that thing, we will go and get it. Here we fast on the day of Ashura, buy one, get 365 free. We'll get the reward of fasting for the entire year. There's one more incident regarding preserving our Islamic values and our Islamic identity and our Islamic morals. That at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they were being persecuted severely in Makkah, this was before they made hijrah to Medina, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commanded the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to make hijrah to Abyssinia. So when they went and they settled there, then as we know, the Quraysh, they weren't too happy about this. So they sent a delegation of people to the king of Abyssinia, King Najashi, to convince them and to tell them that these are some ragtag bandits who caused trouble in the city, and they escaped from Makkah and they have settled down in your city. So send them back with us. We will take them back to Makkah. So they came with the delegation, a lot of gifts, and they gifted it to Najashi and his ministers, etc. So King Najashi, he called the Muslims. Obviously, he was not one-sided. He wanted to hear both sides of the story. So he called the Muslims And as the, in those days, the custom was when you enter the court of the king, then you would bow down to the king, you would, out of respect. So the Quraysh, they did that, the Kuffar, they bowed down to the king out of respect. The Muslims did not bow down to the king. So the Quraysh and some of the ministers who were on the side of the Quraysh, they said that, look, king, this person, these Muslims, they are disobeying you. They have no respect. Look how they're treating you. They're not bowing down to you. So the king asked them that what is the reason why they're not bowing down. And they explained that this is what our belief is. We only pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We only worship one Allah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded us that we should not prostrate and bow down to anything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they maintained the Islamic morals and the Islamic, they did not bend under pressure. Whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them, they maintained the Islamic identity. And also on the day of Ashura, the first thing we mentioned was to keep fasts in the either the 10th, 9th and 10th or 10th to 11th. And the second thing we should try and do is also keep, try and spend on our family. You mentioned that a person who spends on his family on the day of Ashura, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him halal sustenance in abundance for the rest of the year. So we should all try, even if it is a little extra. Ulama mentioned that even if we just schedule our shopping day on that day, inshallah, we will get the reward of, we will get the benefit of spending on the family of on Ashura. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of Ashura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his doors of forgiveness are open. They are always open, but even more on the day of Ashura, so we all turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. And remember, with regards to the topic of maintaining our Islamic identity and etc. So Nabi Sallallahu, it is very, very difficult. It's a very, very difficult thing, but the reward is also great. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in a hadith that whoever keeps, holds fast to the sunnat of my ummah, my sunnat, or he revives the sunnat in the time of darkness of our ummah, like what we are going through today, then he will get a reward of 100 martyrs. So inshallah, we all want to get a reward of even one martyr. Imagine we're getting the reward of 100 martyrs. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.